I was reading the football reports last weekend. You wouldn't be surprised about that. And I came across one report. Let's make clear, Heather McKenzie isn't here this morning, and it's nothing to do with the dreadful debacle of that particular game for Dundee United. And the minister has said that publicly. It's not about that. But it was about a football team that really didn't do too well in the English Premier League. And the writer said they have lost all sense of identity of who they are. I found that quite interesting because they were doing what they were paid to do. They were out there kicking the ball about and trying to put it in the net and so on. Yet that comment of a loss of their sense of identity. I did emphasise that there's probably many questions really that are important in the third decade of the 21st century, and certainly one is mission today and how that is to be worked out. But I wonder if there's a more profound question, and it is about encouraging amongst God's people a strong sense of our identity in Christ. I wonder if we're in times where that is extremely important, to encourage one another in that identity, that profound identity of who we are in Christ as a minority group within society. The Bible faces up to that question. I don't think it's a reactionary question of an older person. It's there right through Scripture from cover to cover. And maybe particularly so we discover in these books in the Old Testament, like Esther and Nehemiah and Daniel, parts of Isaiah, Ezekiel possibly too, and even parts of Jeremiah. There's a big chunk of Scripture that is wrestling as God's people need to sustain who they are, their identity, their remarkable identity. For they have been entrusted with a testimony. Ultimately, it's that, a testimony that is to be passed on, a testimony that is not in the bricks of a building, but is in flesh and blood, bones, in human lives, that testimony that has been given to God's people. How is the confidence maintained? And of course, these books I refer to obviously connect in with that trauma in Israel's time when everything seemed lost completely. Their temple was lost, broken down. Mind you, I read in the Courier this week, top five churches ready for sale in Angus, Dundee, and Fife. Or was it top 10 churches? And I've got to think, you know, is that, I know it's what's happening, but it's almost as if that edifice is all being broken down. The temple was knocked down. The people were taken away from the earth. We cannot imagine how deeply involved they were in the dust and the dirt of the earth that they cultivated. And from the institutions and a measure of freedom, and they were shifted to where, let's say, Persia is, roughly that area there, and then immersed, held deeply into another culture, sunk into it, often re-educated and limited in their freedom. And so the question got rightly asked, how do we sustain who we are as the believing people of God in this changed world and circumstance? And Esther, I love. I think it's a fabulous book. We just tiptoed in. What a party, you know. But you get a picture, don't you, of the power there at the top, the utter affluence. I know it would not spread to everyone, but hey, it was a different world from Jerusalem and Israel and round about there, and the extravagance and just the sheer wealth. And of course, we note who the queen was, and if we read on, we discover that she becomes ever so slightly rebellious, and that's the end. You can't be that in that part of the world at that time. And so a new queen is sought. And that's where we find Esther, a young girl, and she's chosen for her looks, basically. It was a beauty contest throughout the land, actually, and she came top. And so she becomes queen. But she's of the covenant people. She's of God's people. She's a believer. And she's thrust into the palace, very comfortable life, totally protected from the reality of the world outside. And she's there. And my question, and I don't think I have an answer, is, Esther, how did you sustain your identity, your faith in God in that situation? And I actually don't have clear answers from Scripture. You know, we know that she keeps connection with her people through her uncle. We know she privatized her faith. She never spoke about it. She never let on in that new situation that she belonged to the people of God. And we certainly know when we come to the crisis in chapter 4 that she believes in prayer, and that is important. But other than that, we can't really dig any further to get an answer to that question with Esther. The crisis, through circumstances, God's people in that part of the world were to be wiped out, eliminated. And Esther's uncle sees one hope that maybe Esther, in her position as queen, can influence the king and bring about a change to that decision. Because this is about the testimony, again, of God's people. This is the testimony of God himself. It must continue. It's interesting, even if Esther does nothing, her uncle is quite certain the testimony will continue, because God has given it to the world. It's these nuances in the book that are fascinating. His point ultimately is Esther 4, chapter 4, verse 14. You know, maybe you find yourself in this royal position for such a time as this. That's the often quoted verse. You find yourself in this royal position for such a time as this. Though personally, I believe it's always such a time as this for all of us. Whoever we are, and whatever our situation. But for Esther, it was very clear that she had to risk her life in terms of the continuing testimony of God. I won't continue the story because you can read it this afternoon or this evening. There's a lot more to speak about it. But when we come back to the third decade in the 21st century. Yes, we're not under an authoritarian government, but the change has been remarkable in 50 years. I said I used the phrase Christian, inverted commas, Britain in the 1950s. But that has gone. Drip, 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 ever so slowly. We've thought we've surfed the waves, and I wonder if we've sunk into the waves at times over these decades, over these past years, losing that remarkable identity that's been given to us. One psychologist puts it this way, and I don't want to get too technical, you know, but I'm always looking at angles, and there's countless explanations, and everyone could give an explanation, be a great discussion group about why things have changed over 50 years. One psychologist, it's quite interesting, he talks about identity, not what's your bus pass or your passport or your driving license, all these numbers, something deeper, something that's in your gut, who you are, that kind of identity. And he argues, you know, for long enough, there were always three dimensions. There was outward. It was family and friends shaped you, shaped David Clark. It was inward. It was your passions. It was the things you like, the things you love, the me. And it was upward, some being up there, a moral authority to connect with. And these were the three dimensions. And slowly but effectively over 50 years, the upward dimension has been removed. And we're left just with the other two at play. And it leaves people much more focused on me and even on self. What was the words of Madonna? Madonna said something like, I am my own experiment, my own work of art. Now, actually, there's truth in that because we're all unique individuals, but you've got to reach beyond that, surely, to something else. It's essentially my life. It's about me. Or even the Duchess of Sussex. Last week or the week before, I don't read her blog, by the way, but I picked up comments about her blog where she said, I am amazing. I am so proud of me. I know self-esteem is important, though damaging in some ways today. But you see, you get the hints in all kinds of ways in our culture, this tidal wave that washes over us, and we are the people of God. We have an identity in Christ, and we live in a minority culture for Christ and for Jesus. I can't see it changing. I would think we will be in the coming years, I'm a believer in revival, but even a smaller minority. How important it is to cultivate and encourage each other in who we are, in who we are as Christ. I don't have the answers of what that means. I just simply raise that as a question. Remember, the testimony that has been entrusted to us is all summed up in one word. It's Jesus. That's who we are about, the person of Jesus. Beginning and end. Actually, our sacred book, one way of reading it, it's all about Jesus. The Old Testament points to the coming of Jesus. The Gospels tell us how Jesus lived amongst us. Acts of the Apostles tell us how Jesus was preached to Rome and beyond. The letters teach us about Jesus, how to follow him. Revelation speak of Jesus returning once again in glory and in power. We're about Jesus. And that's who we are, to be encouraged in that. I went out cycling the other day, actually, and please forgive me if my imagination has gone crazy here. I'm sure you will still love me and forgive me. But I was thinking, you know, with our church, if I'm right, maybe if we redecorate, redecorate the church in 10 years' time, maybe we need to put in here, you know, go back to the old gospel halls and have a big text. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I'm going to have the cross with Jesus on it at one end, crucified. I would have the stations of the cross. I would have the best icons from the Orthodox Church. reproductions, of course, along there. I would have the empty cross up here, and I would have a big font right in the middle, a baptismal font, symbolic of the fact that this Jesus transforms people's lives as the people of Jesus. And I think that's my question. And I don't think it's reactionary. I think it's sensitive to times in the past in Scripture. And I think it's for us to find the ways in which we can positively encourage one another in who we are in Jesus Christ. You may have other questions that are important for this decade, but I'll leave you with mine. Thank you. And we sing, "Come, O Font of Every Blessing," before the prayer of intercession.